enjoyed the song service this morning. Thank you, Brother Will. Amen. Yes. Man. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. Yes. Amen. Bless you, Sister Brenda. Appreciate those words. And in honesty, that's the same sentiment that I think a lot of us have today. Sure do. Someone else. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1. I'm going to begin my reading in verse 4. Desire your prayers today. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, and of course, that's Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. And I'm going to stop with those verses. That's verse 4 through verse 10 of the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And for my text this morning, I'm going to use that fifth verse where he said, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I was thinking this week, I know we've got some Facebookers in here. I know that because I see you out there. And you may understand what I'm about to say. A lot of times when we're out on Facebook, someone will post a picture of something from the past. And they'll ask the question, they'll say, Does anybody know what this is? And does anybody know what this was used for? And depending on your age, we may or may not know what it is, or we may or may not know what it was used for. But the thing about it, as strange as that item may look to us, and we may not recognize what it is, the truth of it is, in its day, it had purpose, and it served a function. And so, you know, we that are from that time and era, we know what a flour sifter is when they post a picture of a flour sifter out there. Or if they set a set of points, automotive points, those of us that are from that area, we know what a set of points was for an automobile and many other things that people post out there for that. And that made me think that you and I, we're kind of like that in a way. We all today, we look a little bit different. We all come from a different generations. different time periods based on the age that's amongst us today. But we all have purpose, and we all serve a purpose today. And last Sunday night in my message, I preached on what's the point of a right life. And for those that were present, they were given several reasons, from experiencing a full relationship with God, from experiencing a life that's filled with joy, to the impact that those of us that are trying to live a right life, the impact that it has on other people. Well, this morning, I want to address the point of another thing. And perhaps it's something that's crossed your mind before, but my thought today is, what's the point of my life? What is the point of my life? And I wonder, have you ever thought that? Perhaps there's somebody here this morning that's thinking that right now, thinking about, you know, what's the point of my life? Why am I even here? And, you know, Solomon, in his writings in the book of Ecclesiastes, he addressed many aspects of life. And in the third chapter and the first verse, he said, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose, he said, under the heavens. Now he wraps up the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 13 by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And he went on to say, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, the entire book of Ecclesiastes deals with questions, and it deals with problems, and it deals with mysteries, and it deals with definitions of the whole matter. And its true meaning, as he mentions it, under the sun. And of course, Solomon puts it when he's referring to right here, right now, on planet Earth. And, you know, the response or the answer that he gave back, I'm persuaded to believe this morning that it's not a definition of what most people want to hear. They don't want to hear that the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep his commandments. They don't want to hear that. And I thought as I was thinking about the subject today that even though people don't want to hear that, and even though they want to reject what God's answer is that we have here, it doesn't change what the truth is. And brothers and sisters, I hope that we understand and realize that the direction of people and the direction that many are going in society today, even though they determine or whether even though they deem something as being acceptable and a common practice that anybody can do, we still have to remember that if it's not what God's Word teaches, if it's not what God's Word presents to us, it doesn't make what they're doing truth. And I'm persuaded to believe this morning that when it talks about the whole duty of man, you know, the words, they're not that difficult for us to be able to understand. You know, we have at our jobs that we work at, we have duties. And we understand that we have duties that we have to carry out in our families and duties that we carry out to our friends and duties that we have to perform as members of society and a part of the nation in which we live in today. And duties are things that must be done. And if the duties that must be done are not done, well, then the result of that is things go wrong. And when a man does not do the whole duty of man, well, the true meaning of life for him or her, it goes wrong. Many people, since the beginning of time, they have pondered the question, what's the point of life? Whatever condition or whatever situation that they're going through, sometimes it brings people down to a low ebb, and they think, what's the point? What is the point of my life? What's the point of being here in this life? And What's been the point of your life up to this point? I know that this can be a heavy thought or a heavy subject to think about, but I think it's something that we all need to ponder. We all need to consider, you know, what has been the point of your life up to this point? Have you even given it much thought? And I say that today, that it doesn't matter what your age is. I'm not just speaking to young children today. I'm speaking to the oldest persons here and to the youngest person that's here. Doesn't matter what your age is. What are you doing with your life? I'm going to date myself a little bit here. When I graduated from high school, there was a group that was called KISS. Maybe some of you recognize the name of that group. They had a song that was playing seemingly every day. And what the message of the song said in the lyrics, it says, "I want to rock and roll all day and party every night." Now, to the surprise of many of you, I wasn't much of a rocker, and I wasn't much of a partier in my youth. But at the same point, all of us have to, or maybe we have had, to make some decisions to plan our future, to plan our life, to figure out what the meaning of our life is and what it's going to be. And I wonder this morning, do you have a plan? No matter what age you are, today do you have a plan for your life going forward for whatever time you have left in your life? When I was in sales many years ago, it seems like a lifetime ago, but when I was in sales every year, I had a performance evaluation. Had to sit down with my boss, and we had to make a plan. He evaluated my performance up to that point, but there was always the section that said, "What are you going to do for me now?" And he would say, what is your plan or what is your goals of sales to accomplish this next year?" And then he would say, "What about the next 5 years?" Now, I'll tell you, I wasn't a proponent of that because so much can change in 5 years. But it didn't negate the fact that they wanted me to think forward, and they wanted me to think, what are you going to do next year? What is going to be your highest priority of what you're going to accomplish for our company through selling of our products? And then think beyond that. So they wanted you to formulate something. They wanted you to know where you were going and what direction you were going to go and what were the things you were going to try to accomplish. What was your goals and what was your plans? That thinking, brothers and sisters, is ingrained within us from a very young age. Think about it. From the time that we're young, what are we asking our children? What are we telling them? We want to know what is going to be their educational goals for the future. They're thinking beyond grade school. They're thinking beyond high school. They're thinking toward college. What is going to be your educational goals? And then, of course, from there, that leads into, well, what is going to be your career path? What is it that you're going to do that you're going to make your living at? So this is something that we ingrain and we want them to have a plan. But sometimes I wonder, do people have a plan or are they just taking life as it comes? You know, as I look around in our community, and it's not very encouraging sometimes, but I think some people's plan seems to be just the life of taking drugs. It seems to be just the life of drinking alcoholic beverages or whatever substance it is that they're drinking. It's a life of fornication. It's a life of adultery. And it's partying as much as they possibly can. And I think to myself, wow, what lofty plans those are. What lofty goals those are in some people's life. And I wonder, you know, what is the eternal reward for that? I wonder, you know, what do they think their eternal reward is going to be? Well, I think we know it if we believe in the teachings of God's Word. We know what their reward, if you want to call it, is. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The Bible teaches us that the righteous judgment of God is going to come upon those that commit sin. How much of a reward is that? We should encourage people to be on, as I said last Sunday night in my message, to do the right thing and to live a right life. I wonder sometimes if people wonder if that's all there is to life. How sad it is for some people, and they think that life is just a formality or life is a routine. how they get up in the morning and they shower and they have some breakfast and they get in their car and they drive to work. And every 5 minutes, they're looking at the clock wondering, how much more time do I have until I'm off from my shift or my day is over at work? And they drive themselves back home and they have some dinner and they sit down in front of the TV and they watch a little TV and then they go to bed and then they wake up in the morning and they start the same thing all over again. Doesn't there have to be more to life than just that? Where is the purpose in just that? I mean, how far will life take you or get you doing just that? Isn't there someone somewhere who can give some real meaning or some real purpose to life? Wherever you're at in your life, I want you to know this morning that there is a point to your life. Don't ever get to a place where you think, well, there's just no purpose, there's no point in my life. There is a point in all of our lives, and in my reading, Jeremiah, you know, these are God's words. And the immediate context of this was he was speaking to Jeremiah. And what's going on here? Well, God is revealing his purpose to Jeremiah. He tells Jeremiah that he knew him, knew who he was going to be. He knew what he was going to be before Jeremiah was even born, before he was even formed in the womb. He tells Jeremiah, before he ever came into the world, God had set him apart for a purpose. And Jeremiah definitely had a point for his life. What about us? What about you? Does God have for you the same feelings? Does God have for you the same intentions that he did with Jeremiah? Well, I believe he does. I believe that he does. How do I know this? I know this because in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're serving the same Lord. And that's the great thing about the Bible. That's the great thing about the Word of God. What God said to Jeremiah, he says to us today through his Word, through his Spirit, through our prayer life with him, through what God's Word says. Contains in this holy Bible. This same God that knew Jeremiah, I believe, knew you before you were born. And he thought about you. And I think that he planned for you. God has always thought of you as being valuable. Do you know that? We are valuable to the Lord. And as he has put a purpose that he has in mind for you. Every child of God has a purpose in life. Some are appointed, some are anointed by God for a specific kind of work. And I'm going to talk more about that tonight in my message. But study the life of Solomon. Study the life of David. Study the life of John the Baptist. Study the life of Paul. And you'll see what I mean. Each one of these men, they were called to do a particular work for the Lord. So what is it? What is the point of our life? What are we to gather from these few Bible verses that I read to you this morning? You know, will they reveal the point of our life to us? Brothers and sisters, the point of our life, I believe, your life, my life, I think one of the points of our life is to bring God joy. To bring joy unto the Lord. Did you say that wrong, Pastor? Is that what you meant to say? Or did you mean to say the point of my life is to bring me joy? No, I didn't say it wrong. The point of your life is not to bring joy to you. The point of your life is to bring joy unto the Lord. Our life is to bring Him joy, to please our Heavenly Father. How's that working for you? I wonder this morning, are you satisfied? Do you think God is smiling because of what you do? God created you because He wants you. Verse 5 said He knew you before you were you. God had a purpose for your life. Are you fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life? One of which is to please Him. He has big plans for your life. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, we usually just focus on verses 8 and 9. Most people know that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But listen to what verse 10 says. Verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Listen, God's intentions is that our salvation, you know, it's important to be saved, but His intention is that our salvation will result in acts of service. We're not saved just for our own benefit, but we are saved to serve the Lord. We're saved to build up His church and to accomplish the work that He's called His church to do in this world today. We are not a random mistake. There might be in this world some accidental mamas, and there might be some accidental daddies in this world, but there are no accidental kids. God has something uniquely planned for them, and He's got a work for them. The Lord wants a real relationship with you. The Lord wants a real relationship with every single one of us. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Laden means laden by sin, weighed down by sin. It means weighed down by oppression. It means weighed down by persecution. It means weighed down by weariness. "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you." He said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You see, Jesus frees people from the burdens of life. He frees them from the burden of sin, and He frees us from the burdens of this life. And I'm thankful today that the rest that He promises, there's rest in love, there is rest in healing, there is peace with God. That's why that relationship with Him is so important. God is just not some mental, emotional spirit. God gets joy from a relationship with you. God gets joy from a relationship with me. And He gets joy from us abiding by His will for our lives. The point of your life, the point of my life, is that we might not only bring joy unto the Lord, brothers and sisters, the point of our life is to have an impact on the world in which we live today. God wants you to impact this world fearlessly. He wants you to impact this world in faith. Verse 8 said, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." You see, God's promise to Jeremiah was that He was going to see Jeremiah through trouble. Notice that He wasn't going to keep trouble from coming. That wasn't what He said. He didn't say, "I'm going to keep you from trouble," but He said, "I'm going to be with you." He was going to be with him. God doesn't keep us from encountering life storms. We're all going to face storms of some kind, whether it be sickness, whether it be relationships, whether it be financial, whether it be work, there's all kinds of things that we're all going to face. The storms are going to come into our lives, but the thing that we need to hold on to, or the hope that we need to have, is that He's going to see us through them, and He's going to walk with us through them, and we're going to be able to experience His love, and we're going to be able to experience the peace of God as we endure those things. He says, "Don't be afraid." He says, "Serve your purpose. Serve your purpose, and God will take care of the rest." Brothers and sisters, you know, we think sometimes there's not much we can do, but God really does want us to change the world. He wants us to change the world. Often people struggle with God's calling on their life because they've got a lack of self-confidence. They struggle because They feel like, you know, they have inadequate abilities. They feel like they don't have the proper training. They don't have the proper experience. In my reading, if you heard it, Jeremiah, he thought he was too young. He thought he was too inexperienced to be able to be God's spokesman. But God promised to be with him. He promised him that. And I'm thankful today that, you know, God told Jeremiah, and I want you to hear me today, that God tells us. He tells us to go. He tells us to tell everyone what He's told us and what He's taught us through the Bible. But He tells you and I, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to do so. Why? Because He's with us too. Just like He told Jeremiah He'd be with him, He's with us too. You see, the Lord wants us to have an impact. When I said the Lord wants us to impact the world, I understand that it's got to be our world. We have our own world. I'm not going to have much of an influence on what's going on in some foreign country other than the influence that I have in sending money to our missionaries that are there and praying for them. That's the most impact that I'm going to have on the world. But as I've told you all so many times, we all live in our own worlds. We have a world that we live in. And the world that we're living in, there are people that are in our lives. And there are family members in our lives. And our life has purpose because the Lord wants us to impact our families. They were created for God's pleasure too. God wants them to bring Him joy as well. And He wants you to impact your world, whether it be your place of employment, whether it be where you go to school at kids, whether it be in your homes and with your cousins and brothers and sisters, God wants us to make a difference. Think about Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He wants us to impact our world. And listen, if we'll do that, we can make a difference in our world. And you know what the thing about that is your world and my world collides. And what I mean by that is our worlds overlap. Right now, we're in the same world right here in this church building. But when we leave here, your world will expand out and my world will expand out. And some of our world expands out even out there. But you get what I'm saying. We have a purpose. Our life has purpose. And if we'll abide by the purpose or the plan of our life to bring joy unto God and to impact the world that around us and impact our families, what a difference that we can make. Despite the pandemic that's going on, despite all the other things that are going on, we can still be effective. We can still fulfill the plan that God has for us. My thought today was, what's the point of my life? What's the point of your life? I don't know. I hope I've got across this morning that we all have a purpose. Every single one of us has a purpose. The God who created us has a point for our life. The God who loves us, He has a point for our life. And whatever work that we do, as Brother Jim said in his devotional for Sunday school this morning, we do it all for the glory of God. Everything we do should uplift and glorify God and point people to Him. And if God gives you a specific task, accept it cheerfully and do it. And do it with all the excellency that you possibly can. And if you say, well, God hasn't given me a specific assignment. God hasn't given me a specific task. He hasn't given me a specific purpose. Then I'm going to encourage you this morning to seek and fulfill the mission of the Great Commission that's been given to every single believer. We all have that. And seek to love and seek to obey and seek to serve God. Reach out to those that are unsaved with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while you're doing that, be aware of God's guidance in your life to a more specific field of work if you don't think you have one now. This morning, I want you to see, and I want you to live, and I want you to fulfill the purpose of the point of your life, because we all have a point. And I hope this morning, there are many other things that I could say about that, but that's a few things for consider. What's the point of my life? You know, there's a lot of people that have gotten discouraged with life, and their life has come to an end. It's because somebody didn't tell them, perhaps, that there was purpose in their life. Someone didn't help mentor them and help them to realize, you know what? God loves you, and God does have purpose for your life. Yes, we exist in this world today, and kids, get your education. Make those plans. Go as far as you can go. Get that career, get that job, whatever that path might be, unless the Lord calls you into the ministry, and then you got a different path. But you still got to follow the plan. You still got to follow the path. But I guess what I'm trying to say to you, kids, is that there's a lot to accomplish within this life. But please don't leave the Lord out of your life, because the Lord has got the perfect plan for your life. The perfect plan for your life. And you need to be seeking what His plan is and His purpose is for your life. And for you, as Sister Uni Plemons, when I was growing up, she used to call us, I'm putting myself in that category, Brother Danny, I don't mean it to be offensive, but you and I, we're the old heads. That's what she used to call us, the old heads. And what she meant was is that we're up in years. And but still, us old heads, we still got purpose. And it's these little ones that are here is our purpose, to encourage them, to teach them about the Lord, the ways of the Lord, that He has purpose in their life. Listen, I'm looking at our future Sunday school teachers out here. There might be some future deacons that I'm looking at out here. But they got to know what the plan is. They got to know what God's plan is for their life, and that there is purpose in their life. That's my message today. I hope it's an encouragement to somebody as you leave here today. If nothing else, maybe provoke you to think a little bit more about your life when you leave here today. Word on anyone's heart before we bring our service to a close. Thankful for each one that's gathered with us today. I encourage you to come back tonight. I want to talk about God's calling a little bit tonight, if the Lord don't change my mind. And we all got that too. Any word on your heart? Amen. Choir. Amen. Amen. That's right. We are blessed, and we appreciate you kids stepping up and doing, learning, growing. Most importantly, loving the Lord doing it. That's the key. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Thank you, Brother Danny. Someone else, word on your heart. If not, let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. Any other announcements to be made? If not, we thank you for being in our service today. Brother Pete, do you think you could dismiss us?